It's a news according to me. I think that was a direct quote from Nancy Pelosi, I believe. Not positive. I think it might have been. Good morning. It's Monday morning, July 18th, 7:03 a.m. I am up bright and early this morning, ready to hit the day. Right in the nose. I'm going to punch out this day really quick. Got a good start on it anyway. So I've got a few things to talk about. And I know that most concerningly, you want to know what's in my cup. We're going to get that out of the way right away, right after a word from my sponsor. We have no sponsor. There's no sponsor to this show, by the way. No commercials. No interruptions. 100% nonstop. Pedal to the metal. Wide open throttle. My opinions. And a few stories thrown in here and there. With gibberish. To fill in the cracks. The blanks. I have, this is the show where I am not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a financial counselor or a life coach. I'm not a brain surgeon or a marine biologist. But I have a lot of opinions about stuff that, because I watch a lot of YouTube. That's the thing. I'm out there scouring the interwebs of the ethosphere, trying to determine what kind of stories you want to hear. And I glean all this information, mix it up in my head, and then let it fly out of my mouth for an hour a day. So there you go. That's the synopsis of this show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I have, hope all of you had a good weekend. I had a pretty good weekend, actually. I've had a pretty good, this last week was pretty good. I had a whole week off that was unexpected. It was kind of, I was actually on my way to the airport and was informed that not so much. Why don't you just go back home? Because, you know, COVID apparently struck somebody. I assume he's still alive. Not to belittle it, but folks, this new strain, we're at a different stage in this whole thing. And they're still trying to, because it's an election year. I guarantee you, they're up to something. Now, when I play this video for you, it's actually an audio. You're going to hear the audio. I'm going to play the video, which I think you'll be grateful when you find out who I'm playing, who it is that I'm playing. You're going to be grateful that you don't have to watch this. But initially, I'm surprised she doesn't say anything about what's in my cup. This morning I've got vanilla chai, my usual staple. Last week I think I'd had it every single morning. I don't even have a backup cup this morning. I don't even have a bottle of water sitting here. And this, which I probably should have, because sometimes this stuff kind of makes my throat a little bit fuzzy. But the, so what I've got here this morning is vanilla chai, and then I've also got vanilla creamer in there. But it's not real cream. It's this faux cream stuff. It's like a, what would you call it? I think it's made out of some kind of almond milk or something. It doesn't taste bad. It's just different. It doesn't have that kind of rich, creamy taste that you're kind of expecting. It's a little different. It's okay. I don't know. Not sure how I feel about it yet. But it's non-dairy. Because I ran out of creamer, so I had to use some of my wife's creamer. My wife can't do dairy stuff. And so I basically eat all the food she can't eat. When we go out to eat and she gets a salad with no cheese on it, she puts her cheese on the side. They put the cheese on, and you actually get more cheese that way, by the way. They pile this little dish full of cheese that you don't get that much. You get like half that much on a regular salad. So then I take the cheese and I dump it on my salad. So I get all this extra cheese. It's basically like a cheese salad with a little bit of lettuce on it. We're kind of scamming the system doing that. Don't tell anybody. So that's what's in my cup this morning. I got this, there's all this rhetoric out there online. And I keep asking the question of my leftist friends on YouTube. You want to call them friends? I don't know. whenever I post any kind of comment on MSNBC or CNN, I typically just expect a vitriol flailing of words coming back at me. I can say the simplest thing. And if it's not in alignment with what they think, they just pounce and pile on whatever it is you say. They don't understand, I don't think they understand the definition of the word fascism. These people embody and manifest the definition in everything that they do. I don't get it. They think they're out there fighting back against the fascists and the right, extreme right wing, whatever that is. Let's define what extreme right wing, the alt-right or the extreme right, radical right is. I still hear the term. I still don't know what they mean by that. What I conjure up in my head, what I think they mean by that. But what they mean by that, it doesn't even make sense. They've successfully brainwashed people into thinking that the alt-right or the extreme right is a bunch of white supremacist racists. That is not the case. The white supremacist racist bunch out there, the groups of Ku Klux Klan or whatever else you want to call it, white nationalists, groups, all these names that they stick out there. Look, the Nazi Party was the Socialist Party. They ceased to ignore that. They ceased to admit that. And they continue to ignore it. That's what I meant to say. There we go. I knew the word ignore was in there somewhere in my brain, making a sentence somewhere, but it didn't come out. It didn't connect with the mouth quite. But what amazes me, and this is what I really have nothing else to talk about. Well, I do. I guess I have a couple other things to talk about. But the problem is apparently all of a sudden I have this program called Notability, and once in a while I'll write some things down in my notes. And apparently, all of a sudden, when I do something on my iPad with Notability, normally it would transfer to all of my other devices. I have like, what do I have? Three iMacs, I guess. I've got one here in the studio, and then I've got in the home studio, and then I've got one at the international headquarters studio. And then I also have one in my kitchen. Dining area that I tend to sit at and work on. That's an older one. I don't even have that one hooked up to my account. And then I've got my phone and my iPad. And I've got a MacBook Pro. So all my devices, whenever I pull up this Notability program, theoretically, everything's supposed to sync. So I can write, I can draw. I've got a little Apple Pen. So I can write and draw and do all kinds of things on there, and I can type, or I can type in stuff, or I can speak it, and it has speech to text kind of thing, or I can write it and it'll transfer it, and it'll convert it into text, even with my handwriting. It's quite amazing. And I even have another one. I think it's called Good Notes, whatever it is. No, it's called Odd or something. I never use it, but it is pretty fascinating. You can actually have more than one speaker in a meeting, and it will distinguish between speakers. You'll say speaker one said this, and speaker two said that. You can record the meeting audibly, but then you can also do that with Notability. But then you can also, it will actually give you, it will convert everything to text, and it will put that text in speaker one, speaker two, speaker three. It doesn't know the name of the person, obviously. But then you can go back in and label that as who said what. Because it's distinguishing between voices. It's interesting, speaking of voices, you know, I've talked about several times on the show, one of my main jobs over the past several years, and I guess it's just something I kind of grew up with, a sensitivity to it, the ability to kind of hear people speak and know, in general, whether or not they're kind of what's going on with them when I hear them speak. So it's kind of an uncanny kind of thing where I get these kind of, I don't know, it's, and I so when I hear people speak, and I can kind of tell whether they're nervous or scared or what's going on with them, whether they're lying or not, a lot of times, that's a big one. Whether they don't think that they think that they're telling the truth, but when they're actually telling a lie, it's just where they're unsure of themselves when they're saying, or when they're just making stuff up. And it's just been an unkind of, I think most people have a little bit of a gut sense of this, but they just, there's not in touch with that. I do so much with vocal stuff. I do, you know, voiceover work. And so for me, it's not in my voice. I can tell, like this morning, I can tell my voice is not normal this morning. I've got something going on with my throat. I've been pushing the cough button here this morning, trying to clear my throat, and it's just not working. I think that chai doesn't help. It's like this creamy chai stuff. It just, yeah, coats my throat. So I'll coat it again. The problem is that when I hear somebody speak, I can kind of tell what's going on with them. Well, Chip Roy, I'm not going to play this interaction. I don't think, should I play this interaction? I might do this before the show's over. There's an interaction between Chip Roy and some professor or whoever, whatever she is. And he's asking her to, what was the question? He asked her, when does life begin? Who should decide? He doesn't even ask her when life begins. He says, who should decide when life begins? Which is at the very core of the abortion issue. Now, we'll get into that more later, but he's asking her this question right away. She jumps to this idea that, well, it's not a religious, it's a woman's right to decide. The Supreme Court doesn't specify a religion, and that there shouldn't be any. She jumps right to the idea that it's a woman's right to choose, therefore we can't make that decision. Basically, we can't decide when life begins. And there's a lot of quandary here that they get themselves, it's a quagmire, that they get themselves into. Because their reasoning loses all sense of stability when it becomes this situational ethics thing. Because there's no absolute time when life begins, it's just whenever the person thinks it does. All he's doing is saying, when should we, or who should decide when life begins? Should it be the legislature? Should it be Congress? Should it be a scientist? Okay, just answer the question. He doesn't, you know, he's, I think I'm going to play that, that clip if I can find it. I'm pretty sure I can find it. I don't know exactly where it's at. It's about 3 minutes long, I think. But it's very telling. And I actually made it. I think it was on Dinesh D'Souza's podcast, one of his clips on his YouTube channel. If you have a chance to go there, just listen to that. But the clip I'm about to play is also from his courtesy of Dinesh D'Souza. Now, he, interestingly enough, I made a comment about that video about with Chip Roy and this lady. And I made a comment about something about that. And it looks like, now I don't think it is, I know there's a lot of trolls out there, a lot of weirdos out there that will take someone's thumbnail picture, like Dinesh D'Souza, they'll make their name Dinesh D'Souza, and they'll put a bunch of numbers after it or do something weird with it and make it look like they're responding. So you get this thing and it says, it looks like Dinesh D'Souza responded to my message. And the message didn't really make any sense. get in touch real soon. And it has a little hand pointing up. That doesn't sound like something Dinesh D'Souza would say. I don't quite understand what that even means after, you know, I don't know. It didn't make any sense. It didn't sound coherent. I mean, I think Dinesh, if he was going to approach me to get in touch with him, he would have some different way of doing that. And he would have more, it would be more of a cogent point, actual point would make, or a comment or a response. He's not one to mince words, nor is he, does have a lack of words. He's not ambiguous in that respect. You're right, direct to the point. So I'm not convinced it was him. I think it was this bot or something, or whatever you're going to call it. Some kind of response that they were having there. But I digress. Let's get into this whole thing with Nancy Pelosi. Now, she is, Trump still lives rent-free in these people's heads. And I want to play this audio, and I want to make a point of this. Now, she's being asked, I'll set this up for you. Nancy's being asked, this reporter says Donald Trump has made comments. Now, while this reporter is asking the question, of course, she hates even hearing his name. Now, she says she has, when was the last time you heard me say his name? This is someone who is being controlled by their own rage. When you can't do something, I haven't even said his name. Well, that sounds like you have a problem. You may need some counseling. This is anger and rage that is keeping you from doing something you should have the freedom to do, which is just to speak somebody's name. Especially when she has spoken his name, I don't know how many times in the last month. She claims she hasn't spoken his name. I've got video of you speaking his name many, 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 many times on air for the cameras, let alone who knows what's going on behind the scenes with the J6 committee. Because she's in charge of that whole thing. I don't know if you realize. She's the one who gave it birth. She's the one who put it into place. She's the one who picked everybody that was going to be on it, including the Republicans. Their only qualification, that they voted to impeach Donald Trump. So this, she's asked, how do you think this will affect the midterms? And you should see the look on her face. She has this mean, of course, half the time she's trying to hold her teeth in. So I'm not being serious about that. The way she moves her mouth, there's two things going on with her mouth. When she moves her mouth around, it's getting harder and harder for her to speak even, because she's so struggling with trying to keep, one, her teeth in. The other thing is, apparently she's on some kind of medication. I don't know what it is. I think she's on pain med. I think she's actually addicted to pain medication because of the way she acts. And of course she has an alcohol problem. Most people don't realize John Boehner. And I think I made a comment the other day about John Boehner being the Speaker of the House. When I think it was during a time when I think it was actually Paul Ryan, I totally forgot about him being in office at that time. He was Speaker of the House for a little while, and I totally forgot. I was thinking it was just John Boehner, and that wasn't the case. Now, Nancy. A lot of people don't realize John Boehner had an alcohol problem. He was a confessed alcoholic, which is fine. I mean, that's fine. But he wasn't getting he was drinking while he was in office. He didn't confess the thing until right at the very end, or even after. I think it might have been afterwards. Then all of this stuff starts to come out that he was drunk half the time. And if you think that Nancy's any different, these people have parties all the time, and drinking is a big part of it. I mean, every day after work, it's always the schmoozing, and I'm going to be at such and such bar, who wants to come and sidle up next to me and pay me off and pay me under the table and make some deals? This stuff happens at the local level, let alone at the international level and national level. There are certain bars in town that I know of here in Elkhart, where in South Bend area, even Goshen, where the who's who of the community typically meet after work. City employees, the big shots, the media people, they know where they're going. And I just smacked my old microphone there. That's what happens. You know, in all the years I've heard Rush Limbaugh, I don't recall a time when he ever actually hit the microphone. That's professionalism. I bumped the thing at least three or four times in a show. And I shouldn't even talk about it. But here I am. I've got this whole segment on it. So I've got Nancy here getting ready to talk. And if you can hear this, I don't know if you hear it. The reporter is really quiet. You can't hardly hear it. But see how this sets her off. And I want to get into this whole thing about how the left has just gone ape crap crazy over this thing. And I keep asking them a question to them. And of course, that just drives them more nuts, because when I ask them the question, it doesn't make, you know, because their rage doesn't make sense. And I'll explain that after we hear this enlightening discussion that Nancy Pelosi has. This is about a minute and 27 seconds. And I've got it on set on regular time. This is real time, I believe. Let's make sure here. Oh, nope, it's on 125. Let's go with normal time here. I'm going to play the whole thing, because I want you to hear the intonation in her voice. I want you to hear how she does this. Here she is, Nancy Pelosi, the one and only, center stage. Now, when she hears his name, she immediately kind of all of a sudden goes into this blank stare and takes a drink of water. Like, I really don't want to talk about this guy. I hate it when his name comes up right at the beginning of a question. You can just tell she's already mad. Here she goes.
Do I ever even mention his name? When I even waste my time talking about him?
She's not,
what
by the
I
way,
will say is,
as she's responding, she's not looking back at the reporter. She's looking everywhere but the reporter. She's looking around the room. Doesn't know who to look at for sure. Very uncomfortable. And very unsure of herself at this moment. She hates to even mention this. She knows her party is in trouble. But listen to the words she says, and listen to what she says about the midterms.
And I'll say this, and I've said it again and again. Democrats have absolutely no intention of losing the House in November.
She says that with a vitriol that makes you wonder, what do they have up their sleeve? Because right now, they are poised for a landslide. Not because the Republicans deserve it, but because the Democrats are a mess. They think that a kitchen table issue is abortion. Yeah, we sit around the table every night as we're having dinner and talk about abortion. It comes up quite a bit. She thinks that's a kitchen table issue. Well, I'm already analyzing this thing. I didn't really mean to do that. I wanted to hear the whole thing. I wanted you to hear the whole thing in real time. So let's continue. And I'll try not to interrupt.
And the Senate, too. We are mobilized. We are fortified. We have great candidates. Yeah. And we have a great... Our country is at risk. Our democracy is at risk. But what we are campaigning on are the kitchen table issues that affect America's working families. So they know the difference between a Democratic and Republican administration.
Democratic.
On top of a Congress, on top of which our democracy is at stake. I don't speculate on who's running in 2024, even if it's the former occasional occupant of the White House. That's up to the Republicans to figure out what impact it may have on them. But we do know that if people vote, women win, and so do their issues. So that's what we're about.
So many things in this little statement, in this little tirade, that really expose where the Democrat Party is, not the Democratic Party. You don't want me going down that tirade again, do you? So many things that she says here. Let's just start with that last thing about women vote, women win. Let's make it very clear. Among women, believe it or not, among women, the vast majority of pro-life supporters are women. Yeah. It's by like almost 60% of pro-life. I think it's actually 60, it's over 60%, I believe. Of pro-life activist, actual, you know, dyed-in-the-wool pro-life individuals, way more than half are women. Those who are actively engaged in pro-life activism and movements and what their opinions, as they should be. It should be that way. But it's, so this is not a white man, old white man deciding, or even, you know, like Clarence, in the case of Clarence Thomas, who's now their enemy. Who didn't ban abortion, simply said that the Constitution doesn't give you a right to abortion. This was bad law. It was bad precedents for 50 years. Strangely enough, I just was thinking about this the other day. When was the last time you heard from John Roberts? He has become deafeningly silent lately. He was up front all the time. He was in control. You talk about a little tyrant. My understanding is he was in control of what was going on at SCOTUS over there. Now, ever since the leak, he's been very quiet. And we've not ever heard who the leaker was on this issue. I would bet we will never hear who this leaker was. And yet I believe we need to know what exactly happened there, because this was a political hit job from the inside of SCOTUS. It's unprecedented. It's never been done. Nobody's ever leaked information like that on an issue like this. At least not to my knowledge. Certainly not on any kind of big issue like this. But I digress. The point of the matter is here, she's talking about women coming out and voting. Well, yeah, they're gonna come out and vote, all right. I don't think it's going to turn out the way you want to, Nancy. I don't think you understand what's going on here. They think that abortion is now their battle cry, their winning issue in November. This is how out of touch they are with the American people. I saw a recent poll taken by a channel on YouTube called Redacted. Now, I don't know about this channel. I get this uneasy feeling when I hear them talking. They kind of remind me of the Young Turks. For some reason, I do not trust them very far. I don't know why. Maybe I haven't heard enough from them. Maybe I've heard a few things that I didn't like on occasion. Some of these, you know, like, there's this one organization called Democracy Now. They're Marxists. I don't even know if they realize they are. They think that they're all about freedom and democracy. They are not. You have to understand, most of the Democrats and the Democrat Party itself has become the party, just like everything else that they do. They are the opposite of what they say. They are not for free and fair elections. And for free elections, where anybody can write in their vote several times, that's free. You're free to vote as much as you want, even after you're dead. What they don't want you to hear is anything that brings integrity to the voting system. Well, that's racist. When a vast majority of minorities are in favor of voter ID, they come out and say, that's racist. No, you don't want it. It's racist. They're telling them what they want. Well, that's not even a democratic process. Pure democracy, if they want to go there, is majority rule. Well, you got majority right there saying what they want, and you're not standing up for those people. You're standing up for the minority now all of a sudden again. You can't have it both ways here. Now, here's my question. See, Nancy gets this vitriol. Let's go through it again. And let's analyze what she's saying, like I tried to do there at the beginning. She's taking a drink of water. And she's, you know, she looks away from this person. She's shrugging her head. She's looking everywhere in the room.
Do I ever even mention his name?
Do I ever even mention his name?
Would I even waste?
Yes, Nancy, you do. You do mention his name quite often.
It's my time talking about him.
Would I even waste my time talking about him? This is the person she's talked about for the last 5 years. It's all she's 6 years. She has Trump on the brain. I think she's got a T coming out of the top of her head right now.
What I will say is, and I'll say this, and I've said it again and again, Democrats have absolutely no intention of losing the House.
They have absolutely no intention of losing the House. Now, I don't know who she's talking to when she's looking back to the back of the room right now. She's not even looking down where all the people down on the people that are in front of her. She's not looking at anybody. She's looking off to the wall. Her eyes are above the camera level right now. She's looking above the camera. The cameras are even above head height for most of this. So she's not looking at anybody when she says this. She's saying this with kind of a vitriol sound. If you listen to it again, you can kind of almost hear what her facial expression would be like. And we'll play it again just so you get a chance to understand that.
And I'll say this, and I've said it again and again. Democrats have absolutely no intention of losing the House in November and the Senate, too.
And the Senate, too. Oh, by the way, and the Senate, too. Which... Personally, I haven't done the numbers. I don't know the math. I don't understand why even Republicans are saying they're not going to win the Senate. I think they're wrong. I think this is going to be, they may see themselves in a majority, like a 60% majority in the Senate. I don't, maybe not. But I definitely think that the Republicans are going to win the House. I don't know how, I'm not exactly sure how they are doing the numbers where they figure that they may not win the House. They only need one seat. They only need to expand by one seat. And they've got the tiebreaker. Now, they don't win the filibuster, but they've got the tiebreaker. I'm opposed to abolishing the filibuster. I think that's a bad move, but I'll get into that later. So They have absolutely no intention. Now, what do you mean by that? You have no intention. Well, of course you don't intend to lose. What do you mean by that, actually? What she means by that is, by hook or by crook, we are not going to lose the House. Because, she has this justified patriotic reason for why she isn't going to lose the House. Because the country is at, their democracy, the country is at stake here. Let's listen to some more of what she says. This kind of justification is exactly what they were accusing Trump of. But they're taking it to the extreme. They're taking it to the point of, and I'm hearing some people on the left, some pundits who are probably on their way out at CNN, are basically saying that they have to fight physically against the insurgents who are all Republicans. Let's see, let's go on with this and see what she says again.
We are mobilized, we are fortified, we have great candidates, and we have a great, our country is at risk.
What she meant to say is we have a great cause, a great threat. Our country is at risk. Our country is at risk. Now, if you look at the in fact, I'm going to take a picture. I got to take a screenshot of this because this is a classic look from Nancy here. She has this I'm holding my teeth in thing going on. What is going on with my, all of a sudden my mouse is acting up. Don't know what happened there. we have a great cause. She kind of, yeah, because our country is at risk. This is the kind of rhetoric coming from desperate people who are trying to justify their cause by this scary warning that, oh, our country is at risk. We're going to lose our country. I want to get into this a little bit more as we go on because there's some questions I have for these people that doesn't make sense the way they're acting, and yet their heads pop off when I ask them the questions.
Our democracy is at risk.
Our democracy is at risk. First of all, we don't have a democracy. We have a republic. We have a constitutional republic based on limited government and individual rights. Not all republics are good. Just because it's a republic doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. But we have a republic that's based on a constitution that gives us individual rights, the sovereignty of the individual. That's what we have. And we use a democratic process, not a Democrat process. It's not a Democratic Party. They're not democratic. We have a democratic process. Just ask Bernie whether or not it's democratic or not. In which we put representatives out there to represent our individual rights. But they go to Congress thinking that they're going to create new rights somehow. I don't know, out of thin air somewhere. I don't know. Establish laws that against rights that we have. Things that shouldn't be infringed upon. They like to infringe on them.
Well, you have to have common sense, you know, common sense laws. You know, you can have a musket.
Whatever. I'm not going to get into that. So our country is at risk.
But what we are campaigning on are the kitchen table issues.
She's talking about abortion.
That affect America's working families. So they know the difference between a Democratic and Republican administration on top of a Congress, on top of which our democracy is at stake.
What she's saying doesn't even make sense. I mean, she's just throwing out word salad now. But she's all concerned about this and the kitchen table issues.
she's talking about and the things that affect Americans the most. I was talking about this redacted, this poll taken by Redacted. And the things that they had up there were, you know, what things are going to affect you in the November elections? One was the recession, or it was inflation. I'm sorry, inflation. The second one was abortion. The third one, I believe, was COVID. And the fifth one, or fourth or fifth, whatever I'm at, was monkeypox. Inflation was 95%. The next two were 2%. Monkeypox was 1%. And they think they're going to win on an issue that has 2% of the kitchen table issue. These are people who are either out of touch or are just saying this to try to convince themselves or to try to convince you, to gaslight you into thinking that's a big issue for people. You've got a few people out there who are very radical. I don't understand why. Extreme radical lunatics out there with their hair all kinds of different colors and wearing strange outfits, yelling and screaming about their body, their choice. Hey, that's fine. You make your choice. Go on your little strike, because that's, you just be that way, whatever. There's a lot of men out there now who are having vasectomies. Not a lot, but when there is one, they put them on TV to protect their partner. No, you're doing that to protect yourself, because you don't want the responsibility of having a child. I'm doing it in protest, in solidarity with my... Okay. Whatever. Maybe a little bit of responsibility for yourself and your actions might be a little bit more in order. You don't want to face the consequences of the actions that you're taking. I don't, you know, not ready for that responsibility of having a child. Maybe you're not ready for the responsibility of having sex with someone else. Just saying. Just saying. Who am I to say, oh, whatever. Okay, whatever. Here's Nancy again. Let's keep going with this because it gets better.
I don't speculate on who's running in 2024.
I believe Nancy herself was kind of pushing the idea or supporting the idea of Joe Biden. Of course he's going to run again in 2024. I'm sure I can pull up video of her talking about it. If she's not, the party certainly is. Even if you say something about his cognitive ability, or this one doctor who said something about his cognitive ability, and then all of a sudden Obama right afterwards chastises the guy. I'm sorry, Mr. Obama, but you're wrong on this one. You want to stand by and ignore this and say that he's wrong for pointing out the obvious. That shows us who you are. He, of course, he did it in a very diplomatic way, a very presidential-sounding way. But it was ludicrous. Speaking of Obama, let's talk about this a little bit. Everybody keeps talking about, I hear Susan Rice's name come up once in a while because she's actually establishing she's still behind the scenes establishing foreign policy. Let's talk about the Obama administration. Now, one of the things that this doctor said, in fact, in his little interview where he was talking about his response to, or the response that he got from Barack Obama, he talked to, apparently right afterwards, he got this email from Barack, and he ended up, right away, he went to Dan Bongino and asked him, you know, what his opinion was on this whole thing. And Bongino, you know, just said, but just ignore it. This is wise counsel, folks. Regardless of, I don't know what you think of Dan Bongino, it was wise counsel. Because here's the deal. If the Democrats, of course, they're just emotionally motivated by everything that they do. And The biggest thing that they could have done during the entire Trump administration that they did not do in the days leading up to the 2016 election, as well as any time thereafter, they became obsessed with Donald Trump. When, in fact, they should have completely ignored him. You want to get to him, ignore him. They did the actual opposite. But they didn't. They don't understand that. They don't understand people at all. This is where they're at. So this doctor goes to Dan Bongino. He says to ignore him. He did. Other than just bringing it up and telling everybody that he got it. I wouldn't have even told everybody that I wouldn't even told anybody that got the text at all, or that the email, whatever it was. But he apparently has pointed out that right after Biden got into office, the West Wing was filled with Obama, ex-Obama people, which is kind of makes sense because they're part of the party. They're going to flush back in there. But it basically is the Obama administration. Now, he made the comment that Susan Rice is determining he was right next to the president all the time. He was his doctor during the Obama administration. He was also George Bush's for some time, for a couple of years. And then he was also in office. He was there when Trump was in office. The thing that he was saying was Susan Rice is still establishing our foreign policy right now. Now, if you know anything about Susan Rice and where she comes from and all this stuff, she is a mess when it comes to her philosophical views on foreign policy. The name that you never hear anyone say, and this is what I always wonder about the silence that you hear. All of a sudden things go silent. There's something else going on. Doesn't mean it's over. The one person who was closest to the president for 8 years and still is, by the way, Obama still lives in D.C. He got a house just down the road from the White House, the one from the Capitol. And in his little house complex, it's not an apartment building. It's a little housing complex. Guess who's living with him? Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett is the hand in the puppet of Barack Obama. She's the brains. And you never hear anything about her. She's not in public. I don't hear her talking. Now, when we get close to the election time, she might come out and talk again. Once in a while, she'll come out and she'll do some kind of little interview with somebody. But it's very, very rare. And lately, she's become very quiet. Maybe her and John Boehner are having coffee. I don't know. Or John Boehner, John Roberts. It's creepy, and it's concerning and disconcerting. And when they come up with this kind of vitriol, we have no intention of losing the House or the Senate. We are fortified and mobilized. We got all of our mules out there. We got the drop boxes still in place. We're changing the law. All the things that they're doing. Yeah, that's scary to me. And to talk about democracy. We'll get into that again. I'm kind of the short. I didn't think this segment was going to. I thought I was going to end up with a lot of time here.
Even if it's the former occasional occupant of the White House.
Let's go back to what she was saying there.
24, even if it's the former speculator who's running in 2024, even if it's the former occasional occupant of the White House.
Former occasional occupant of the White House. I have no idea what that even means.
That's up to the Republicans to figure out what impact it may have on them. But we do know that if people vote, women win, and so do their issues. So that's what we're That's what we're about.
Yeah. No, that's not what she's about at all. That is absolutely what she's not about. The video of Chip Roy, it's about 2 minutes long. I'm not sure if I have time to get into that. But here's the thing that I've been asking my leftist radical friends on YouTube. I just ask the questions, and my friends respond to me on. Now if you go to like MSNBC and CNN, and you look at the comments, they're all lockstep, which makes you think they've got. Now I have no doubt that they probably have about 20 people in a room with computers, maybe 10, with all these different accounts. And a lot of them are like copy-paste type stuff. And they just throw out thousands of comments. That's their job. As soon as they post a video, they throw in the first 10,000 comments, or whatever it is, 1,000 comments. They don't even have that many listeners, watchers. They go on all the social media and they post all these comments. Because I don't believe these people are real. The vast majority of them are not real. Some of them are. Some of them will echo what they're saying. And then they get likes and clicks and all that stuff. And then sometimes the responses that you get back are absolutely ridiculous. My response to this video of the... I think I'm going to go ahead and play it. Was that, why are people... Well, my response to this one, actually, in fact, was... Why are people so... I guess I got an email. Why are people so off the charts worried about Donald Trump running? Well, I don't think that they're worried about him running. They're worried about him winning. Now, think about what that would mean. We can't have him back in the White House. We can't have him winning the election. We have to do everything we can to stop this guy. They're afraid he could win. Why are they afraid he could win? He got outvoted by 9 million people. What are they afraid? I would think they'd be clamoring for this guy, like they did the first time in 2016. Remember that when they were all saying, yes, please run. We don't want you to be president, but we do want you to run, because they thought it was a shoe and they thought it was a joke. And he slathered Hillary Clinton, who was supposed to win 1 million to 1. Or 1 million to nothing, or whatever it was, according to FBI agents who had an insurance policy. How ridiculous. People who are supposed to be completely apolitical, making comments like that, should be fired on the spot. This guy's still working. McCabe, Comey, Strzok. They have jobs. Or are they working for CNN and MSNBC now? They're a disgrace. They're an embarrassment to the FBI. They should be. Because they were playing political games. Tried to affect an election. It's worse than anything the Russians did. Oh, but they're patriotic. They got up there and told us so. So we have this issue of the Democrats, and I asked the question, why are you, I said, are you afraid of him running or are you afraid of him winning? And why would you be afraid of him winning? Because wouldn't that mean that the people have voted? And aren't you for democracy? Aren't you concerned about our democracy? Losing our democracy? Well, what is democracy? That means the majority of people voting for a particular candidate or getting this, majority of the delegates. which is the demonic, that's the democratic process that we have. That's the way we do it. So why are they concerned? If is it really the running that they're afraid of? It's the winning that they're afraid of. And why would they think he could win if he got beaten so badly? If a bumbling person who stayed in his basement the whole time could win an election against Donald Trump, then what do they care? They could run AOC and she'd win if he's that bad. They're going to get those 9 million people are going to show up. They know that that's not true. I think that they know more. And what they're talking about. I just got a text from my wife here. I have to read this. I have to, slight pause. Think, talk amongst yourselves. Okay, thank you. There you go. Okay, good. So I'm gonna play this to close the show here. We're going to play this little video. And notice how this lady skirts the issue. The question that Chip Roy asks, and he tries to ask it a couple times, and this lady basically doesn't respond. She doesn't give an answer to the question. She's just kind of all over the place and brings it back to the arguments that she wants to have. She wants to control the argument. She avoids the question by doing so, and it's kind of goofy.
So hold on, Professor. I know we've got limited time. Who, as a matter of law, who decides when life begins, and who decides when and how life is protected?
The Constitution does not speak to the question of when life begins, just that it doesn't speak to many other things, including...
Now, keep in mind, this lady's wearing glasses that have no lenses in them. I mean, they might have lenses, but they're not. These are not glasses. Actually, I don't think they have lenses in them, because normally glasses have a... When you have... She has a light right in her face. There's no glare whatsoever. So her glasses are a style thing, and they are simply to make her look smart. This is something to... People do this... I see this a lot. People wearing glasses that just... They don't wear glasses. They put glasses on to make themselves look more studious, more intelligent. There are no lenses in her glasses. Why are you wearing those? I can't remember who the other person was I saw the other day who was wearing glasses that it was obvious they didn't have any lenses in them. And it was, it makes you wonder. And of course, every other picture I see of them, they're not wearing glasses. And maybe they've got contacts, I don't know. But this person is not wearing glasses with lenses in them. This should tell you something right off the bat.
The right to an abortion and executive privilege and qualified immunity.
So
it is a personal decision.
In the absence of the...
So she keeps going back to the issue of the Constitution doesn't say when life begins. He's not asking that question.
Constitution specifically saying when life begins, then who best to decide when to protect life? The people or courts?
So he tries to narrow it down and actually give her a multiple choice question here. Do the people decide, in other words, legislatures, representatives, or do the courts decide when life begins?
Representative Roy, as you know, the question of when life begins is a personal question informed by religious beliefs.
Is a personal question informed by religious beliefs. This is her foundation for the answer to answer this question. The question of when life begins is a personal question informed by religious beliefs. So her argument here is that
We don't have a religion in this country, an official religion. So they can't say, because based on what religion says. So you're telling me that if you're Catholic or very Catholic, like Nancy Pelosi, and the Catholic Church says abortion is wrong, well, then you can't have an abortion. It's not a life until you're, it's life at conception. But if you, because up until the birth of that child, it's just a religious, it's not a real child, it's just a religious thought, idea. But if a woman doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in life, or doesn't believe her child's life until birth, or even after birth, that child isn't alive until the parent decides it's life, until the woman actually decides it's life. That's a lot of power that a woman has. By the way.
Our Constitution in the very First Amendment says emphatically that the government shall not endorse any particular religion. It shall.
Now, this isn't a religious issue. This is a scientific issue. When does life begin? When does life begin?
But professor, when we have life, when we just make decisions about protecting life, which we do all the time, if a 3-month-old infant is murdered, we protect that life. If a 50-year-old is murdered, we have laws across the country that protect that life. We make decisions about when life begins. My simple question is, as a matter of law, is who decides when we protect life, and whether or not that is judges to decide that moment, or whether that is elected representatives elected by the people?
Well, Representative Roy, as you say, we have laws. Those laws are written by our representatives. We also have fundamental rights. And as you have noted,
we have fundamental rights. Now, she goes into the Second Amendment here in just a minute. We have fundamental rights. Yeah, you have the right to life. So it's important that we define when life begins, because as soon as that life begins, guess what? That fundamental right, that right, the right to life, is absolutely in the Constitution, and it's one of our most basic ones. If not, it is the most basic right, is the right to life. So if life begins at conception, that life now has constitutional protection. That's when life matters. That's why this question matters, and is at the core of the abortion issue.
Fundamental rights are not unfettered, but they do allow individuals to possess certain freedoms. For example, the Second Amendment right, despite the fact that we have prohibitions on murder, allow individuals to bear arms. Indeed, sometimes to effects that are incredibly deleterious.
Hold on, Professor.
Deleterious. I don't know why it skipped back.
Fundamental rights, and as you have noted, these fundamental rights are not unfettered, but they do allow individuals to possess certain freedoms. For example, the Second Amendment right, despite the fact that we have prohibitions on murder, allow individuals to bear arms. Indeed, sometimes to effects that are incredibly deleterious.
Deleterious. She uses a big word there. She can't answer the question. Who decides when life begins? See, now here's the issue. If a man or a woman, let's say a woman is pregnant. Yes, a woman is pregnant, not a man is pregnant. A woman is pregnant. A female is pregnant. She's 2 months along, 3 months along. And someone punches her in the stomach. The child is killed. She's okay. She's alive. Child is killed. Can that person be charged with murder? Absolutely they can. What if the woman didn't want the child? Now we get into this whole thing. Well, she wanted the child, therefore it's murder. If she didn't want the child, it's not murder. Really? So it's not life unless the mother says it's life. This is about as idiotic as anything I've ever heard of. What if that mother, 10 years from now, changes her mind and says, no, that was a life? Now you're guilty of murder. Because now you've decided that it was life. You see, this is the quandary. This is where it falls apart. And this is one of the things I wrote on this, one of the comments I had about this was, and I don't know if you can hear it in her voice. She's very shaky on this. She knows she's off on a, she can't philosophically debate this. So she has to bring the issue back to abortion rights, the right of a woman to choose. She has to, keep bringing it back to that and then throw the whole religion thing in there and how we're free from religion. Our religion doesn't play a part in anything we decide, even though it absolutely does. It was all part of the foundation of our Bill of Rights. Judeo-Christianity was the foundation of the Bill of Rights. Which, so she has these comments that she makes like this. She comes back with this stuff. She's very unsure of herself. I can hear it in her voice. She's nervous as can be. Now she has, don't get me wrong, she has lenses in her glasses, but there's no, maybe there's some kind of protective lenses from the computer. It's like there's all this stuff that they got out there now. Where are these glasses? They cost $300. They'll protect your eyes from the radiation from your screen. Yeah. Because, you know, people's eyes are falling out. So, I digress. I've gone over an hour now on the show, and I really need to move along. Some interesting stuff happening in the news, in the news media. And I think that the... how long ago was that put out? Oh, that was just put out yesterday. I've got plenty of material. Tomorrow I'm going to be traveling. I will be able to get up in the morning and have a show. The next day, however, let me take a look at my schedule here. I'm not sure about the next day. I'm going to be in Scranton, Pennsylvania tomorrow night. I get in there fairly late in the evening. Oh, sure, this isn't working now. I get in there fairly late in the evening. And... so I don't know for sure how early in the morning I get going, Tuesday morning. But tomorrow morning I will definitely have a show if all goes well. And then probably Wednesday morning. The rest of the week I should have a show without any problem. And I'm heading out for Atlanta. I'll be in Atlanta for another week after that, I believe. I'm not positive yet because there's some things that might get canceled. Hasn't been determined yet. I should know by the end of the day. So we'll keep the shows going. I'll keep it rolling until the end of the month here. And well, once again, thank you for listening, watching, thumbing upping, all the stuff you guys do out there with social stuff in the social media world. But I do appreciate people listening and stay tuned because one of these nights I did a live show last Friday just in celebration of our 400th episode. This is the 402nd episode, by the way. And did a little live show on Friday, Friday morning, I believe it was. And I appreciate everybody who listened to that and has responded. We'll be doing another live show probably this week sometime, I'm hoping, at some point. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. Keep praying for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for those in prominent positions, those who are fighting back, people like Dinesh D'Souza, people who like some of our representatives who are actually... vocalizing the truth. God bless everybody. Have a great day.